Good morning.
Good morning.
It is great to see everyone here today. On behalf of our council here at the Lutheran Church of Our Savior and our congregation, I would like to welcome and send a heartfelt welcome to our visitors today, the council from the Church of the Reformation, and also Pastor Imani today, who will be leading us in worship. And as our pastor, Pastor Wilk, and our council members are over at the Church of Reformation this morning, worshiping together as well. I would also like everyone to just take a look at your bulletin and see what's going on in the life of our church this week. We would like to lift up birthdays. Juliana Gatto is April 26th. Madeline Wahlberger is celebrating a birthday on April 26th. Jacob Foltz is celebrating a birthday on April 28th. Donna Evanson is celebrating a birthday on May 1st, along with Chloe Osterling. Let us prepare our hearts and minds for worship. The peace of the Lord be with you.
If you are able, please stand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires are known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Most merciful God, we confess that we are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. By what we have done and by what we have left undone, we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your Lord. God, who is rich in mercy, loved us even when we were dead in sin and made us alive together in Christ. By grace, you have been saved. In the name of Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. May Almighty God strengthen you with power through the Holy Spirit, that Christ may live in your hearts through faith. Amen. We now sing "The Lord's My Shepherd." the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. O Lord Christ, good shepherd of the sheep, you seek the lost and guide us into your fold. Feed us, and we shall be satisfied. Heal us, and we shall be whole. Make us one with you, for you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We'll be singing verses 1, 3, and 5 of Beauty for Brokenness.
Please be seated. The first reading is from the book of Acts, chapter 4, verses 5 through 12. The next day, the rulers, elders, and scribes assembled in Jerusalem with Annas the high priest, Caiaphas, John, and Alexander, and all who were of the high priestly family. When they had made the prisoners stand in their midst, they inquired, "By what power or by what name did you do this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers of the people and elders, if we are questioned today because of a good deed done to someone who was sick, and are asked how this man has been healed, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that this man is standing before you in good health by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead. This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders. It has become the cornerstone. There is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among mortals by which we must be saved." Here ends the first lesson. (Clears throat) Our second lesson comes from 1 John chapter 3, verses 16 through 24. We know love by this, that Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for one another. How does God's love abide in anyone who has the world's goods and sees a brother or sister in need and yet refuses to help? Little children, let us love not in word or speech, but in truth and action. And by this we will know that we are from the truth and will reassure our hearts before him. And whenever our hearts condemn us, for God is greater than our hearts, and he knows everything. Beloved, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have boldness before God, and we receive from him whatever we ask, because we obey his commandments and do what pleases him. And this is his commandment, that we should believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another just as he has commanded us. All who obey his commandments abide in him, and he abides in them. And by this, we know that he abides in us by the Spirit that he has given us. Here ends the second lesson. Please stand for the reading of the gospel. Today, the Holy Gospel according to St. John, chapter 10, verses 11 through 18. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand, who is not the shepherd, and does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. The hired hand runs away because a hired hand does not care for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. I have received this command from my Father." Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. Let us pray. Most gracious and loving Lord, we thank you for the gift of your Holy Spirit. We thank you for the word. We thank you that you instruct us to seek you first. And now, gracious and loving Lord, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of our collective hearts will be acceptable unto your sight, for you are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Greetings to you from all of our congregation at Reformation Lutheran Church. We have been overwhelmed with the hospitality, the graciousness, and the love, and also the support of your pastor and council in so many conversations. I'm grateful for Janine and her leadership here, as well as Alexandria's musical leadership. We are thankful. And with that, as I was pondering all of that things that I was thankful with as I was coming here today, I started thinking about the one thing that is universal for all of us, something that we are all searching for, and that is abundance, particularly an abundant life. It is a life that is rich in deep, meaningful, purposeful things. A life which we are not merely trying to survive, a life beyond survival. There's a theologian named David Luce who says it this way: we are all searching for a life that is not just survival, but is flourishing, not just getting by, but thriving, not just existence, but joy. Indeed, for some of us, unfortunately, in this world, surviving is a task that is number one. But even the reason we seek to survive is eventually for a much more flourishing life. I mean, Jesus makes the distinction: there is life, and then there is life abundant. Just like, think about breathing, and then there is living. That's the distinction that Jesus is trying to give to us. And no matter where you come from, your background, your color, creed, country of origin, or even religion, it seems that there is something very universal that is fundamental to the anatomy of all of our souls. And that is that we long for an abundant life. So we search for it, almost in desperation, sometimes without even knowing that. Abundant life is identity. It is being known, being someone's. It is belonging, it is love, it is purpose, it is contentment and hope and joy. And since we all long for some kind of abundant life, these are the questions all of us ask. Who am I? Whose am I? What am I supposed to be? What is the meaning of life? What is my purpose? What is our purpose? How can I make my life more complete in the varied stages of my life? How can we find joy? And where are those answers? Well, there are some very smart people who that is their very job, to find out what will make you happy. And it is all in answering these questions, and it is always some kind of advertisement, some kind of ad that is going to pop up to tell you just what you need to be happy. Now, it can happen on the television, it can happen on social media, if that's your thing, but it always happens. And on this Good Shepherd Sunday, reading this portion of the Good Shepherd Discourse, which is actually an extension of John 9, which is all about healing. That's important to know, because Christ is trying to point us to our healing. That is, in the light of the failure of our spiritual blindness, of religious authorities who condemn the healing of this man that was sightless from birth, Jesus offers himself as a counterexample, picking up a theme that runs throughout the Old Testament. And it is this: there will always be leaders who will shirk their responsibility and fail to care for God's people. Now, so we land in John 10 in these 7 verses. Now, while there are many dimensions that I could preach on, there's one that grabbed my attention this week, and it is this. It is a particular time when good shepherds in our shared communal and societal life seem painfully scarce. And Jesus promises are so desperately needed in this world, aren't they? And simultaneously may be received with some skepticism by people worn out by 3 things: the pandemic, injustice, and quite honestly, anxiety. In this section of our text for today, we see a contrast of a good shepherd and a hired hand. They're very different. Hired hands are false prophets. It turns out they're not coming to destroy us, but rather they're not committed enough to have a risk in their lives for the flock in which they are looking after. They are kind of pretenders of sorts, and they have a legitimate and important job to do, maybe, but they do it usually for themselves, not for those that they are supposed to be entrusted to. I think there's a lot of hired hands today. A lot. And if you are like me, we see that not only in people, but also institutions with legitimate and very important roles who seem to have little regard for the people that they are called to be of service to. Let me give you an example. I'm an apple lover, and I got roped into being an apple lover for many and varied reasons. And I will say that I love my apple products. Every time there's a little opening for some kind of apple product, I'm probably going to try to figure out how to buy one. That's just who I am, all right? And so, but they are genius in their marketing strategy. Now, years ago, there was a commercial with Robin Williams speaking a poem by Walt Whitman. Now, if you're not familiar with the poem or the background, you just know that Apple always does this little seamless beauty kind of thing that kind of ropes you in. And quite honestly, I think Walt Whitman turned over in his grave that this poem is being used for a $1,500 piece of plastic. All right? But let me read you this poem. It says this: O me, O life, of the questions of these recurring, of the endless trains of the faithless, of cities filled with the foolish, of myself forever reproaching myself. For who more foolish than I, and who more faithless? Of eyes that vainly crave the light of the objects mean of the struggle ever renewed, of the poor results of all people, of the plotting and sordid crowds I see around me, of the empty and useless years of the rest and the rest me intertwined. The question, O me, O sad recurring, what good amend these, O me, O life? What is happening with these words and in this commercial that we need to watch out for is that they are claiming to have an answer and a key to abundant life by opening up an iPad Air. That's what it's inviting us to. And many commercials have done that. I'm not saying that it doesn't have its place because there is some need for our communities to do certain things. However, we get very caught up into the hired hands, like marketing. Now, that's the first one that we should really watch out for. I mean, I need a support group from Amazon because I don't know about you, but during the pandemic, I was getting a box pretty much every day, much to my husband's chagrin. Marketing plays a role in the functioning economy, yes. But as Jonas Sachs says in a book called Winning the Story Wars, he says that in the previous century, marketing has been less about sharing information and more about creating a sense of inadequacy. That you must have this thing. That you must do a little retail therapy to keep it going and to show your worth. Now, the second hired hand is a little bit more tricky for me because, quite honestly, I enjoy it. And that's social media. Now, that may not be your thing. However, social media is one of those hired hands that creates a kind of algorithm of our lives. We see the response of what happens on social media, and it then vibrates out the likes. Or the lack of likes seem to fuel so many people's identity, a feeling like they are enough. Now, I will tell you, I don't know what I would have done over this last year without social media and being able to broadcast our sermons. There is a place. However, external affirmation. External, something outside and beyond ourselves, begins to capitalize on this culture of doing the outrageous in order to get attention. Now, here's the third. And let me be clear, as a guest in your pulpit, that we live in a time of polarized, hyper-partisan politics of division. That's the third hired hand. I don't care what side of it is that it is on, and I can't emphasize enough that whether it is democratic, Republican government, derived from the word in the Greek of polis, which means people, for the people. It has its value, but in recent years, there seems to be an increasingly emphasis on inviting us to define ourselves in a terms of what and who we're against versus what and who we are for. I'll let that sink in for a moment. That has become our defining versus who we are at the foot of the cross. We foster these negative identities that are all wrapped into this identity of opposition that too easily and quickly breeds hate. Now, what all three of these hired hands do and that they have in common is the emphasis on the self above all others and false narratives of scarcity, insecurity, and the fear that they perpetuate. The messaging is consistent in all three, and there are more hired hands. And it is saying that we are not enough. That we are not enough. For Reformation, as we prepare to sell our building and moving out and beyond that, we have wrestled with the fact of, are we enough? I've heard that lament from many people. Maybe we haven't been doing this right. No, that's a false narrative. And I am sure here at Our Saviors, you have your own false narratives that are outside of the truth that Christ is our good shepherd. That we are enough. And beneath all these varying messages, is one consistent one. Justify yourself. Justify your worth, your personhood. And when I look at the spiking rates of anxiety and depression and hopelessness, particularly with young people, oh, there's something we need to change. Something we need to turn around from. We are plagued with hired hands eager to tell us that we have to do and our worth is defined by something outside of ourselves. And just like that Apple commercial that I told you about, do not fall for it. It hits all the right notes for sure, right? But that's not the song. Not at the very least. There is so much more that defines us, that there is some deep answers that we can find here in this text. And when it really matters, what Jesus warns us is that the hired hands will run away. That it will not fill you up. There is a temptation for us to try to find abundant life in so many things. But the only place in which we find it is at the foot of the cross. In this Christ that is our good shepherd that leads us. And I know that the word sheep has turned into a negative politicized kind of thing, and so we kind of don't know what to do with that language of sheep. But God is redeeming that word for us. We are called to seek abundant and fulfilling life. That is the call. But we seek it in vanity in so many other places. Whether it is through money or power, through food, physique, style. We seek abundant life, maybe even through our sports teams. I mean, I'm sure there's a few Bills fans here. I mean, last year, and they hit it pretty close for abundant life, I have to tell you. Their motto was, find a way. That was their motto in 2020, find a way. And they almost did. I was really impressed by that. But what is our way? What is the way, the truth, and the life? Instead of the spoonfuls that we are being fed of nonsense. You see, we have a better gospel. Our Lord and Savior has provided us with everything in which we need. And only in Christ do we find our most profound identity. That we are His. That we are God's. that we are the children of God. Let us not forget that no matter what transitions come, no matter what people may say. And only in Christ can we find our truest and most profound identity. Let us hold on to that. Whether it is Reformation, finding ways to reform, or for you here at our Savior's, realizing that Christ is our Savior and nothing else. It reminds me of a story of a little girl who was reciting Psalm 23. And she says this, "The Lord is my shepherd. That's all I want. I'll tell you, people of our Savior's Reformation, those of you in the parking lot honking your horns, that's all we should want. Thanks be to God. Amen." We now continue our service for today with the hymn of response, "Morning Has Broken."
Living together in trust and hope, we confess our faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth.
I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father.
He will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit,
the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Amen.
Amen.
Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Alive in the risen Christ, by the power of the Holy Spirit, we bring our prayers before God, who promises to hear us and answer in steadfast love. Loving Shepherd, you know your own, and your own know you. Your voice calls us to your loving embrace. Strengthen your church throughout the world, that we may bear witness to your expansive love. Lord, in your mercy.
Gracious Shepherd, you are generous with the gifts of goodness and mercy. Restore your creation to wholeness, so that cities and towns, countryside and wilderness, may abound with life. Lord, in your mercy.
In our prayer. Hope-giving Shepherd, the nations and peoples are your heritage. Place into their hearts of all leaders and rulers the passion to serve. Crucify any desire to overpower others, and give leaders joy in lifting up the lowly. Lord, in your mercy.
Abiding Shepherd, your love flows as we reach out to those around us. Move us with your Spirit so that we may lay down our lives for those in need. Help us love one another in truth and in action. Hear us, Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer. Saving Shepherd, you restore us to wholeness. Help our community in our life together, and give us vigor as a people of faith in the midst of challenges and opportunities. Today, we lift Jim Flick, Jeff Maximi, Sean Hopkins, Jim Evanson, Ken Keller, Scott Preston, Danny Baird, Kelly Hagberg, Franz Foltz, George Borelli, Sandy Johnson, Jack Erbelding, Colleen Forsey, Meredith Fries, Norma Chapin, Anne Seppa, Vera Scuderi. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer. Eternal Shepherd, you hold us securely in your loving hands. In the assurance of resurrection hope, we remember our loved ones and those that have died in you. Whether it is remembering Dr. Martin Luther King, Tarana Burke, Desmond Tutu, Oscar Romero, Tokio Kagawa, the renewer of society, all those who put their bodies on the line in your name. Help us to remember that, Lord, we are called to be truly your disciples and witness. Bring us with them to dwell in your house forever. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer. In the hope of new life in Christ, we raise our prayer to you, trusting in your never-ending goodness and mercy. So into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen. Amen.
Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom.
Please stand if you are able. At this time, just a reminder, if you have not received your communion elements, this is your time to indicate that to an usher or a server at this time. Just looking around. Amen? Amen. All right. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
Lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give God thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, for the glorious resurrection of our Savior, Jesus Christ, the true Paschal Lamb, who gave himself to take away our sin, who in dying has destroyed death, and in rising has brought us to eternal life. And so, with Mary Magdalene and Peter and all the witnesses of the resurrection, with earth and sea and all of its creatures, with angels and archangels, with cherubim and seraphim, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. In the night in which our Lord Jesus Christ was betrayed, our Lord Jesus, he took bread, he gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And then again after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to all to drink, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood, shed for the forgiveness of sins of all people. Do this in remembrance of me." Remembering his love for us on the way, at the table, and to the end, we proclaim the mystery of faith that Christ has died, Christ is risen, and Christ will come again. Let us say the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, and deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. And so now we take the wafer
the body of Christ given for you.
The body of Christ given for you.
The blood of Christ shed for you.
Blood of Christ shed for you.
You have received the body and blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. May it strengthen you and keep you always in his grace. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. Let us pray.
God of glory, in this sacrament, you unite us in the body of your Son. May we who have been guests at this table grow in love for one another, that through us your light may shine in all the world, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
And now receive this blessing. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord have his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord look upon you all with favor and give you peace. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. We go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Thanks be to God.